Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The United Nations, which today begins taking evidence of alleged Iraqi torture, executions, and looting in Kuwait, is moving closer to a high noon ultimatum to Saddam Hussein. On Thursday, the Security Council is expected to approve a resolution telling Baghdad to get out of Kuwait or be pushed out. The Soviet Union is said to favor a January 15th deadline. The U.S. would prefer January 1st, as would British U.N. Ambassador David Haney.
The pause of goodwill during which, before the beginning of January, we hope that Iraq will comply with the Security Council resolutions, withdraw from Kuwait, release the hostages, and allow the legitimate government of Kuwait to retake its position.
The draft UN resolution does not specifically mention force, but does authorize member states to use all necessary means to enforce earlier resolutions and restore international peace and security to the area if Iraq does not withdraw. Yemen said today it will oppose the resolution. Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev has warned Iraq its aggression will be punished. Iraq's foreign minister Tariq Aziz, who got that blunt Gorbachev warning in person yesterday in Moscow, today accused the UN Security Council of adopting a double standard. He said the government of Saddam Hussein would never succumb to pressure. China holds veto power over a UN resolution, but it indicates it will not use it. John Sheehan reports from Beijing.
If China goes along with a resolution allowing force against Iraq, it will do so only reluctantly. Speaking through an interpreter, Chinese Foreign Minister Chen Qichen said the consequences of a long stalemate in the desert are less adverse than the consequences of going to war.
Chen stands for the effort to seek a peaceful solution, and we don't hope to see the result to force.
This is the first time any senior Chinese official has elaborated publicly on China's misgivings.
In dealing with this kind of crisis, we should not rush.
The Chinese have indicated that they won't veto the resolution, but are also not saying they will vote for it. John Sheehan, CBS News, Beijing.
Three Americans, 10 Britons, and 5 Germans arrived in Amman, Jordan today from Baghdad. The Americans' relatives yesterday had made personal pleas to Saddam Hussein. 5 more Americans and 58 Britons held as human shields have been quietly brought from Kuwait to Baghdad. Diplomats are speculating they may have been moved north because of the threat of a U.S.-led attack in Kuwait or as bargaining chips in Saddam Hussein's hostage bazaar. Inspectors for the International Atomic Energy Agency say they found no evidence that Iraq is diverting nuclear material from its civilian research program to military use. The Senate Armed Services Committee has begun taking a close look at President Bush's Persian Gulf policy. Rob Armstrong reports.
The committee is holding hearings to determine whether the U.S. military mission in the Persian Gulf has shifted from a defensive to an offensive posture. Chairman Sam Nunn says the addition of some 200,000 additional American forces in the Persian Gulf raises serious issues.
The question is, I view it, is not whether military action is justified. I believe it is. The question is whether military action is wise at this time and in our own national interest.
The committee had hoped to hear from Defense Secretary Dick Cheney and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Colin Powell, today, but they will not appear until next Monday. The official version is that their appearance today could hurt U.S. efforts to win a resolution about the use of force in the U.N. But sources say privately that the administration is not in a hurry to give none who may have presidential aspirations a forum for a roster of hostile questions. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
There's been a shakeup at the top of the Desert Shield Command. Vice Admiral Henry Maws, Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Persian Gulf Naval Forces, is being relieved by Vice Admiral Stanley Arthur. The announcement gave no reason for the abrupt change. In South Lebanon, 5 Israeli soldiers were killed today in what some are calling another suicide bombing. Lawrence Rifkin reports.
The Israelis say the clash took place when soldiers waiting in ambush inside Israel's self-imposed Lebanese buffer zone noticed 4 gunmen heading south toward Israeli territory. A firefight ensued, and when it was over, 5 Israelis and 2 of the guerrillas lay dead. Israeli security sources have been quoted as saying the soldiers were killed by explosives carried by one of the gunmen, though it's unclear whether they were set off in a suicide attack. 2 days ago, a 19-year-old Lebanese woman blew herself up a few feet from a passing Israeli patrol, wounding 2 soldiers. Hours after today's clash, Israeli planes raided Palestinian positions near the Lebanese coastal city of Sidon. Lawrence Rifkin, CBS News, Jerusalem.
In less than 4 hours, we should know which man Britain's Conservative Party leaders have decided to replace the Iron Lady with. Tom Fenton reports.
Only a small number of persons are voting today for the leader of the Conservative Party and next Prime Minister of Britain. They are the 372 conservative members of the House of Commons. John Major, the youngest contender, claims that last-minute soundings make him the likely winner. Major is in the Thatcher mold, a man from a modest working-class background who is popular with the party faithful. Self-made millionaire Michael Heseltine, who has both charisma and wide support with the public, claims he is the favorite.
We have more firm pledges than John Major's claiming at the moment.
Douglas Hurd, a patrician in the old Tory party image, is trailing behind but still hopeful.
If I were you, I would expect the unexpected.
All three candidates agree on policy in the Gulf. So whoever wins, the British government will continue to support U.S. actions there, even if the tone of statements from the British government will be somewhat less bellicose in the future. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
Poland's Prime Minister Tadeusz Mazowiecki, rejected by the voters in Sunday's presidential balloting, has resigned. For the runoff, Lech Wałęsa is the clear front-runner over emigre businessman Stanisław Tyminski, described in some newspapers as a lunatic. He says they're just afraid of change.
No doubt that change is dangerous to some people. For the last 45 years, there has been no change. Since the Second War, we have the same tax system. I offered to change the tax system. It's very dangerous for some people.
Wałęsa has said he will leave Poland if Tyminski wins. In South Africa, black tribal factions fought running battles with clubs, machetes, and firearms overnight, as many as 15 people killed. The clashes came hours before crisis talks between anti-apartheid leader Nelson Mandela and President F.W. de Klerk on a new non-racial constitution. President Bush is midway through a two-day summit with Mexico's president, Carlos Salinas de Gortari. Jacqueline Adams reports the focus is on trade.
The two leaders are putting the finishing touches on a proposed free trade agreement, but White House aides promised ahead of time that the most controversial issues wouldn't put a damper on the festivities. Example, oil. The Mexicans have insisted that oil is off the negotiating table. Yet American investment could help them develop deep water wells, more crucial now that Iraqi and Kuwaiti oil supplies have dried up. At a massive rally in Monterey's Heroes Plaza last night, though, President Bush stressed only the positives.
This relationship is of vital importance to my country. We will never neglect it. We are neighbors and we are friends.
Even on the Persian Gulf, President Bush is treading lightly. Mexico has offered to send troops to the region once the UN authorizes the use of force. But aides said Mr. Bush wouldn't push, hoping to focus narrowly on economic issues. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Monterrey, Mexico.
The U.S. trade deficit grew in the third quarter to nearly $30 billion, the highest in nearly a year. On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 1.25%. Time is 7:10.